fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co. Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
This episode may contain content of a graphic nature, including descriptions of physical and sexual violence against adults, children, and animals. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Talia.
And we are Crimes and Consequences, a true crime podcast. Hi, Talia.
Hi, Tanya.
How are you today?
I'm just got back from vacation.
I know I missed you last week.
Vacation was a lot of work. I forgot how much work a girl's trip is. A lot of work. A
lot of work.
I'm a bit exhausted. If you know what I'm saying, guys. I'm a little out of it still. Bring me back to reality, Tanya.
Unfortunately, I'm going to bring you back to reality with a very sad story today. I'm sorry. And if you are especially sensitive regarding violence towards children, this is not the episode for you to listen to.
All right. I'll be back in about an hour.
You have to stay.
God damn.
I know. I'm sorry. Before I start, I'm just going to ask everyone to hit the subscribe or follow button on whatever app you're listening to us on. And I'm going into the story.
All right.
Ryan McConnell and Amber Huggins were married in May of 2000. They lived in Indiana together, and they had two daughters, Kaylin, who was born in 2000, and Lauren, who was born in 2004. They ended up separating in July 2006, and Amber moved to Tennessee with both girls. At some point, Ryan moved to Arkansas. Ryan filed for divorce in November 2006, and the divorce was final in May of 2007.
Was he seeing the children while he was away in Arkansas?
I don't think so. However, because he filed for divorce, he was awarded custody of both girls.
Oh.
And Amber didn't have an attorney. I don't even know if she showed up for the hearings. I'm not sure. I'm not trying to say she didn't. But he ended up getting custody of both girls. And Amber was ordered to pay child support of $104 a week. However, Ryan and Amber ended up making an agreement where Amber wouldn't pay the support because Lauren would live with her and Kaylin would live with Ryan.
They're separating the sisters?
Yes. In October 2007, so just a few months after the divorce was final, Ryan married a woman named Brittany. She worked as a certified nursing assistant, and she had already had one child, a son, who I'm going to call Kyle. I'm not sure what his name was.
Okay.
But it started with a K, so we're going with Kyle.
That's a nice name.
Brittany had a stepdad whose name was Robert Lee. Robert was Ryan's cousin.
What?
So that's how they met. Her stepdad.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Her husband's cousin.
Yes.
Is her stepdad.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Ryan and Brittany had a daughter together, and I'm going to call her Heather because her name started with an H, so I'm not sure exactly what her name was. After Brittany and Ryan were married, Brittany told Ryan that he should enforce the child support order against Amber so that they could get the weekly child support money.
even though they'd worked out a custody arrangement to negate that support.
Yeah, but they never put it as an order.
Right.
So as far as the court was concerned, Amber was supposed to pay this child support that she hadn't been paying.
They should have hired us.
They should have.
We would have done it. Great job.
Lauren continued to live with Amber until December 2007, and then she went to stay with Ryan and Brittany, and she stayed with them until June 2008 for about 6 months. In June, Kaylin and Lauren went to stay with Amber, and 6 weeks later, Kaylin came back to Arkansas to live with Ryan, so...
They're just switching up these kids.
Yeah, switching up these kids. While living with Amber, Lauren was a healthy child. She had chipmunk cheeks, curly hair. She was potty trained. She had no problem sleeping. She was really outgoing and talkative and well-behaved. Lauren had no problems eating or gaining weight. She didn't exhibit any odd behavior.
There's nothing wrong with her. She's just your wrong with typical... Her. Just your normal. How old is she?
She's four.
So she's just your typical four-year-old.
Yes.
Probably cute as a button.
Oh, she was totally cute as a button. In October 2008, Lauren went to Arkansas to stay with Ryan and Brittany, and she went back to live with Amber in December of 2008. So again, just a few months, back and forth, back and forth.
And I'm assuming the other daughter's doing the same thing?
Yeah, in December of 2008, Amber picked both girls up from Ryan and Brittany at a gas station in Arkansas. Amber noticed that Lauren had bruises along her forehead and a couple on her cheek. The following morning, Amber also noticed that Lauren had bruising on her arm and a leg and on her lower back, and Lauren seemed a little withdrawn. Lauren also had reverted to wetting her pants, so she was reverting back into not being fully potty trained. Amber called Child Protective Services. At some point, Ryan called Amber and asked if she had called CPS, and she said she did. Ryan asked Amber if she would keep Lauren for a while, and Amber said yes, but how long is a little while? And Ryan said, like, forever. Ryan
That's a little more than a little while.
That is more than
pointing
a little
that
while.
Out, but okay.
Ryan also informed Amber that he and Brittany were planning to move to Indiana. And within a couple weeks of picking up Lauren in December 2008, Amber had Lauren return to being potty trained. So everything is good. Brittany and Ryan, along with the kids that they had, so Kyle was her son from the previous relationship, Heather that they had together, and then Kaylin that Ryan had with Amber.
Lauren's sister.
Yes, Lauren's sister. They all moved to Winchester, Indiana in March of 2009, and they stayed with one of Brittany's uncles. His name was Tony. They also stayed with Robert Lee, who is Ryan's cousin, Brittany's stepdad. Okay.
Right, gotcha.
And her mom. So Robert and Angela Lee are married to each other, and Angela is Brittany's mom. Okay. I know there's a lot of people.
Well, Brittany and Ryan are living with...
Her
Brittany's
parents,
mom.
Yep, her mom and her stepdad and an uncle.
Okay, I can follow that still.
Okay. About 3 or 4 months later, Robert, Angela, and the kids moved to another city in Indiana, farmland. And while living there, Brittany asked Ryan why he didn't want to go pick up Lauren from Amber. Ryan was told that he was a worthless piece of crap father. Brittany says this to him, if you didn't go get your daughter. So she's trying to make him go pick up Amber. He never had any concerns about Lauren, and he wanted Lauren to stay with Amber, but his wife is now pressuring him to go get Lauren.
Whatever happened with the CPS deal?
I don't know what happened with the CPS deal.
I can't imagine it going smoothly when you have it between states, because it doesn't go smoothly just inside one state, let alone two.
Or separate. Between counties.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I don't think anything much happened to it. One day when Ryan came home from work, Brittany told him that she had called 911 in the state that Amber was living in, and she asked them to do a welfare check on Lauren. She explained to the police that Ryan was the custodial parent and that Amber wouldn't give them back Lauren.
So she's trying to basically say parental kidnapping is happening.
Yes. Ryan knew this was all bullshit, but Brittany was pressuring him to take Lauren because they needed the money for child support. Basically, she said again, he's a worthless father for leaving his daughter with Amber. And if he was any kind of dad, he would go there and get his daughter. In August of 2009, Ryan and Brittany drove to Amber's and they had their custody order in their hand. They were met with local police. They went to Amber's house with two law enforcement officers. Ryan didn't tell Amber that he had planned to take Lauren, and the visit was a complete surprise.
Why? Why not make it easy and at least call her?
I know. Say, I'm coming to get
Lauren.
I don't know.
And then just not bring her back. If that's your plan, is to keep her, just kind of be like, I'm going to spend some time with my daughter and then not return her.
Right.
Why do it this way?
This is just a mess. And as a family lawyer, this makes me so upset.
I know that, you know, I'm getting all worked up. I'm sure it's going to get much more fucking messy when you're done.
Yeah, it gets worse.
You've been fucking with me a lot the last few episodes.
I'm sorry, I know. It gets worse, everyone. I know you heard that from the last episode.
You say that again, like I shake when you say it gets worse. Oh, you wait, it gets worse.
Oh, wait, it gets worse. I'm sorry. Amber was given an address for Ryan, which was the house at which Ryan had lived when he first got to Indiana. It wasn't where they currently lived, okay? When Brittany and Ryan picked up Lauren, she was healthy, potty trained, outgoing, energetic, eating fine. Ryan then instituted an action for back payment of child support against Amber from May 2007. So it's like over 2 years worth. I know, what a dick move.
What a dick.
They needed the money. Brittany pressured him. About 2 months later, which was about 3 or 4 months after moving to farmland, Indiana.
It's literally called farmland?
It's literally called farmland.
Oh, I thought you were just describing it.
No, it's a city.
Okay.
The Brood, which is Ryan, Brittany, Robert, Angela, Kaylin, Kyle, Heather, and Lauren, they moved to Muncie, Indiana.
I know where that is.
I've heard of Muncie.
I used to live in Indiana.
You did? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Went to college there, one of my many colleges.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did. Duh.
Evansville.
Nice.
It was nice. It was lovely. Anyway.
Amber didn't know where Ryan and Brittany lived with Lauren, and she wasn't given a phone number for them.
That's just cruel.
I know. At some point, Amber called a phone number for Brittany's sister in an attempt to reach her daughters, Kaylin and Lauren. And she spoke with Brittany later, and Brittany told her to pay her child support and not to call their number anymore. Amber also tried to get in touch with Ryan through social media. Brittany responded to Amber's message on social media and said that when Kaylin and Lauren were old enough to decide if they wanted to see Amber, then they could make that decision.
What?
So they're keeping them from her.
They're keeping them from their mom.
I know.
Who wants to be with them?
Mm-hmm. Amber asked for an address and phone number, but she was told just that they lived in Winchester, Indiana, which was a lie.
She needs to hire a lawyer and she needs to file a motion ASAP.
Seriously. In December 2009, Amber sent Ryan a message and told him to have the girls call her and that she was going to seek court intervention. Amber did get a call from a restricted number and was able to speak with her daughters. The call lasted a little over 8 minutes and it ended when Amber heard Brittany say, "You've talked long enough," and heard a click.
My ass would drive up there. I don't have any place to go, though, do I?
No, she has no idea where they're at. Oh, man. And this is what really gets me. Lauren and Kaylin addressed Amber by her name rather than calling her mama.
Oh, man. I swear to God.
I know.
I'll rip someone's face off.
I'm incensed. At some point, Ryan began working at a company in Muncie from 7 a.m. to 3:30, and he usually drove a minivan to work, but sometimes he'd take public transportation if Brittany needed the minivan, so they only had the one vehicle. Brittany wasn't working. She stayed home with the kids. On November 19th, 2009, Brittany took Lauren to an emergency room due to a red and painful eye. At that time, Lauren weighed 38 pounds, and there were no concerns with her vital signs. Brittany reported that Lauren's primary physician was a doctor named Dr. Shoemaker, and that she was insured by Medicaid in Indiana. The emergency room physician wrote prescriptions for some antibiotic eye drops and also Benadryl to ease Lauren's discomfort, and they basically discharged her. She didn't have any other problems, physical, behavioral, nothing at that time. However, just a month later, in December 2009, Lauren began calling people a fucking bitch.
What?
Quote unquote.
I was like 10 before I did that.
I know, and she's about 5.
Wow.
And those are words that Robert would say all the time, the stepdad. Also, Lauren's behavior began to change in December, and she began smearing feces on stuff.
Oh, snap.
Like the refrigerator, the TV, and the floor.
Oh, my God. That poor baby.
I know.
She is just crying out for help.
And she also told anyone who would ask that she was seeing little blue bunnies that told her to do bad things.
What?
I know, that's kind of weird.
As family law attorneys, Tanya and I have worked with foster care children and abused children, like seen their history and that smearing of feces.
It's, something's
she's,
up.
She's being hurt.
Yes, something's up. On December 8th, Brittany took Lauren to an emergency room in Muncie and said that Lauren had jumped off a bed and injured her finger on her right hand. An x-ray showed that Lauren suffered a buccal fracture of her middle finger and also that Lauren had additional fractures in 4 fingers on her right hand.
Wait, she had additional...
Yeah, the other fingers.
Oh, wow.
All her fingers. Yeah.
What about Kaylin? How is she doing?
Kaylin's just fine. In mid-December 2009, Brittany, Ryan, Robert, and Angela took Lauren, Kaylin, and Kyle to a church Christmas party. And after arriving in the church parking lot, Lauren wouldn't get out of the minivan and repeatedly was saying, fucking bitch.
Wow.
Ryan asked a pastor at the church for help, and the pastor came out and saw that Lauren was physically rocking back and forth in her car seat and repeatedly saying, fucking bitch, for about 5 minutes.
Wow. Fuck.
The pastor talked to Ryan and Brittany and said that he really thought Lauren needed to see a child psychologist very soon. Robert eventually took Lauren inside the church to the party, and the pastor noted that Lauren stood off to the side and just stared, more or less is how he described it. She didn't interact with any of the other children. She seemed very pale and frail.
I just want to give her a hug right now.
And Ryan didn't do shit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a couple questions, but I'll wait.
Ryan saw Lauren being abused on numerous occasions. He observed Lauren being hit by Brittany and Robert on her palms and on the bottoms of her feet with a wooden stick. At first, Lauren was hit on the back of the hands, but then Robert said, if you hit her on the back of the hands, it'll break a bone, so hit her on the palms. Ryan mostly saw Brittany hit the bottoms of Lauren's feet. The stick was made from two wooden side railing pieces of a baby crib that had been taped together. So I'm thinking like those little wooden dolls, the slat kind of things, but I'm thinking they're smaller than like a big piece of wood, but...
So he's watching this?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the father doing?
Nothing.
Why?
He said he thought that what he saw was abusive and he argued with Brittany about it, but he really didn't do much. He threw the stick away, but Brittany made another one. When Ryan asked her why she hit Lauren with the stick the way she did, Brittany told him it's because that's the only way she'll feel pain. Like it's her discipline.
This reminds me a lot of episode 124 with Natalie and Chase DeBlaze.
Yes.
The dad just didn't do much. Sat back and... What happened?
This pissed me off. And I know we just did one, but I had to do this
because
it pissed me off so bad. Immediately after Lauren was beaten on the bottoms of her feet, she was forced to do jumping jacks for about 5 to 10 minutes while Brittany or Robert kept track of the time. She was forced to jump until she threw up.
Wow.
That was her punishment. If she quit, she was forced to start over and jump for another 10 minutes.
That's not easy doing jumping jacks for 10 fucking minutes.
Hell no. Uh-uh. Lauren was forced to jump for 50 minutes on one occasion.
What?
And 20 to 30 minutes on another occasion, probably because she stopped and they made her start over.
At some point, your body doesn't even move.
No. While she was jumping, Lauren would cry and ask to stop, and Brittany would tap the stick and tell Lauren not to stop. Like, no, you're going to get this, right?
I just want to hug this little girl right now.
Brittany and Robert forced Lauren to run repeatedly from the couch to the refrigerator. Lauren would cry and ask if she could stop, and Brittany would say, no, you have another minute to go. On several occasions and several times at night, Brittany forced Lauren to hold heavy objects, such as a heavy book or canned goods, out to her sides or in front of her for 60 to 70 seconds while Brittany would count. If Lauren stopped or dropped the object, Brittany forced her to start over.
And what were the other children doing?
Nothing. They were not being abused. It was all on Lauren. Had to watch, basically. When Ryan confronted Brittany about her treatment of Lauren, Brittany said that Lauren, quote, needs to start being good or I'll break her, end quote. She's like five.
That was that's the same as the DeBlazes. She was going to make sure she knew she wasn't a little princess.
Oh, that's right. Ugh. Lauren was also hit with wet rags or hand towels on the back of her legs by Brittany and Robert. Ryan asked why wet rags was used on Lauren, and Robert said that he had seen it on Criminal Minds and that it wouldn't leave any bruising. Robert told Ryan not to tell anyone about Lauren's punishments. Brittany told Ryan that if he told, she would take his children away from him and he would never see them again because she had something that Amber wanted, which was Lauren. The other children were never punished the way Lauren was punished.
Is Ryan slow or something?
No,
is that what's happening here?
No.
Okay.
I know. I'm amazed.
Yeah, it seems like the jar's a little half empty, upstairs here. I don't even know what the fuck that means right now, but you got my point.
I get you.
The jar's half
The jar's
so
half
hungover
empty.
Still.
On one occasion, Brittany struck Lauren on the bottom of her feet with a stick and allowed Kyle to punch Lauren in the face.
Kyle?
Kyle was the son that she had from the previous relationship.
How old is Kyle?
Kyle is only about 2 or 3 years younger than Lauren. So he's like two?
That's just sick.
I know. Ryan told Brittany to put an end to striking Lauren and went to the house of his uncle, which was next door, for help. And the uncle did have an argument with Brittany, but he left. Nothing came of it. Brittany would force feed Lauren by making her stand in front of her and eat. Lauren would become sick and vomit due to the forced feeding. When Lauren vomited, Brittany hit the bottoms of her feet with the stick and forced her to do more jumping jacks, which caused her to throw up again. Each night, Brittany forced Lauren to take Benadryl so she would sleep.
Well, actually, that's kind of a blessing.
I know, that poor child, though.
Right? At least she gets knocked out in a little bit of sleep for a while.
In late December, Ryan came home from work one night, and Lauren had her hands full of feces and tried to wipe it on him. Lauren also tried to smear feces on the other kids.
I mean, if that's not like, hey, daddy, please help me, I don't know what is.
How can you think this is normal and not do anything? Brittany told Ryan that she was going to call Dr. Shoemaker for an appointment for Lauren and that she needed the van. And Ryan was under the impression that Brittany was going to take Lauren to the doctor for these issues. But she didn't. In January 2010, so the following month, Ryan began to take classes. And he would be home from work about 3:45 for about 45 minutes. And then he would go back out the door to about 9:15 or 9:30, again leaving Brittany and Robert with the kids.
So he's gone all the time now.
He's gone all the time now. When Ryan returned home, the children were already in bed. Near the end of January, Amber traveled from Tennessee to Indiana to try and find her kids. Amber visited the address in Winchester, which she had been given when they took Lauren, and she found the house was empty. Ryan's uncle, who lived next door, saw that Lauren's health was deteriorating and her demeanor had changed in December and January. He noted that Lauren had been just a really happy and sweet girl when the family first moved to Muncie. But then she began to swear, and he saw noticeable behavior changes, and she also began to lose weight.
He had to have known what was going on because Ryan reached out to him.
Mm-hmm. Ryan told his uncle that Lauren had an eating disorder.
Oh.
And that there was a prescription they were supposed to get for her or something, end quote, like quote unquote or something. The uncle noticed that Lauren's condition further deteriorated in January. She wouldn't run. She wouldn't hug him. She didn't smile. She didn't seem happy. And she just seemed to get thinner and thinner. The uncle noticed this was just complete opposite of how Lauren was like that previous August and September. It was obvious that Lauren needed medical help. Every time the uncle visited the residence, Lauren would be in the basement where she slept on a mattress and she wouldn't come upstairs. One time the uncle went down into the basement and Lauren told him that she wasn't allowed to come upstairs.
So why didn't he do something
about it? He questioned Brittany about it and she told him that she had taken Lauren to a doctor. The doctor said that Lauren had mental issues and referred Lauren to a therapist and that Brittany was taking her to a therapist. So he's thinking she's getting help.
There has to be more people that saw Lauren during all these months, too. There had to be more people coming over to that house.
It had to be, or like, is she in kindergarten, I wonder? Doesn't sound like it.
But Brittany's probably just good at manipulating them.
That's what I'm thinking. This is just weird. One day when Ryan came home from work, Brittany told him that, quote, Lauren looked like a hermaphrodite.
What?
End quote. And so Ryan agreed to take Lauren to the doctor. On February 4th, 2010, Ryan and Brittany took Lauren to urgent care. And because Ryan was embarrassed that Lauren might be a hermaphrodite.
He wouldn't have known this by now.
Right. He reported that Lauren complained of pain when she urinated and that her, quote, vaginal area doesn't look normal, end quote. Ryan and Brittany reported that Lauren had been potty trained, but had regressed into diapers. Tests revealed that Lauren didn't have an urinary tract infection and an external vaginal exam didn't indicate anything that would suggest that Lauren wasn't a biological female. So I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't even understand this.
Or why they even took her to the doctor. I don't know if this is...
Maybe to have her humiliated by having to have her genitals looked at.
That's what I'm thinking.
And question, you know, her...
being a female?
Yeah.
I know. This is just fucking weird. After the exam, Lauren retracted into a defensive position, curled up her arms, moved to the top of the examination table, and began to hit herself in the forehead with her fists. That's when Ryan and Brittany said that Lauren hit herself so hard that she caused bruises. So I don't know if that's bullshit. Ryan and Brittany were referred to another doctor due to her behavior. And they were provided information to follow up with their primary care physician, Dr. Shoemaker. I'm going to tell you, Dr. Shoemaker was mentioned a lot in this story, and I got my story mostly from the court records, but they never took her to Dr. Shoemaker. They just lied and said that this doctor was her primary care physician to make it look like she's getting care. About a week later, on February 10th, Brittany and Ryan took Lauren to that doctor that the urgent care referred them to.
The psychiatrist?
Yeah, I think it's a family therapist. And they met with a child and family therapist. Her name was Karen. Lauren appeared very small for her age, wore her coat during the entire session, was very quiet, and slept for most of it. Brittany did most of the talking and presented herself as Lauren's primary caregiver. They again mentioned Dr. Shoemaker. Brittany reported that Lauren was not eating or sleeping well. She was smearing feces on things, was seeing little blue rabbits, which were telling her to do bad things. She wouldn't interact with anyone. She would stand for hours and not move. She would eat things out of the garbage. Brittany further said that Lauren had hidden a knife under her mattress and had threatened to hurt someone with the knife. Brittany also reported that Lauren exhibited sexual behavior and would, quote, stick a Barbie doll way up inside her, end quote.
No.
I don't know if that really happened or if this is just some shit.
I can't imagine the little girl doing Lauren doing it on her own.
No. But I don't know if she's just adding to the story.
I don't know. You tell me. Oh, my God, Tanya. What the fuck is this?
I know. I'm so sorry. Brittany said she was concerned about parental safety and the safety of the other children in the home because of Lauren's threats.
I swear to God, I'm going to slap that woman. How do I slap her?
Let's drive to Indiana. We'll find her. When asked who lived in the home with Lauren, Brittany said that she, Ryan, and the siblings lived there, but she didn't report that Angela or Robert lived there. And she also said that Amber had abused Lauren in Tennessee, which was a lie. Karen, the child and family therapist, reported to CPS in Indiana that Lauren may be a victim of child abuse because she demonstrated some of the classic symptoms of abuse. Indiana CPS received the report and referred the allegations to CPS in Tennessee. I don't know why they would do that because Lauren doesn't live in Tennessee.
Right, but I think they were going to investigate Amber, right?
Yes.
So they're thinking it is Amber that may be abusing her, not realizing it's Brittany.
Right. Sometime in February 2010, Ryan asked Brittany to call the doctor due to Lauren's weight loss. The following day, Brittany told Ryan that she had called the doctor, and the doctor said, quote, don't worry about it. She's not going to starve herself, end quote.
Really? Really? A doctor did that? Really?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. She's fine.
And then Brittany also told Ryan that the doctor had ordered her a dietitian, which wasn't true. She's making shit up.
Totally making shit up.
Sometime after Christmas Day in 2009, Robert's mother visited the residence where they all lived in Muncie. Her name was Linda. Linda asked Lauren if everything was okay, and Lauren responded affirmatively, but Linda thought it was unusual that Lauren was so quiet and didn't talk very much because she had always been a very talkative little girl. Linda again visited the residence February 15th, 2010, so about 6 weeks, 7 weeks later. At some point during the visit, Brittany took Lauren into the bathroom. Later, Linda went into the bathroom and attempted to play peekaboo with Lauren with the shower curtain, and Linda noticed that Lauren didn't want to play. She was standing in the shower with her arms up and she was shaking. Linda thought, what the hell, and put her hands in the water and discovered the water was ice cold.
Oh, man. Oh.
Linda turned off the water and wrapped Lauren in a towel, and Lauren went and sat down by a heater vent on the floor. Linda confronted Brittany about the cold shower, and Brittany told her, Lauren was used to cold showers because she took them when she was with Amber.
Brittany just hates Lauren.
I don't know why. I know. Linda also had a conversation with Brittany about Lauren's weight. Linda was upset because Lauren looked horrible and looked like she'd lost 20 pounds. And she said, quote, the child couldn't afford to lose one, end quote. Brittany told Linda that she had taken Lauren to the doctor, and the doctor said that Lauren had anorexia.
She's four?
Five.
Five.
Maybe six.
I can see how Brittany might get away with explaining one thing about Lauren or maybe another thing. But the more you're telling me she's telling Linda, it's like, okay, wait, this isn't adding up. Okay, so no, she's anorexic. She likes cold showers, basically Amber abuse, you know.
And she's withdrawn.
Right.
Not talkative.
Like I said, if it was just one thing, she's just thin, okay. But right. It's a lot of red flags.
Yes. Linda expressed disbelief that Lauren was anorexic as a five-year-old, and Brittany said that Lauren had seen the doctor, was taking medicine, and was seeing a psychiatrist, which also wasn't true. Linda had surgery on her knee at some point, and after her surgery, when she would come to visit, she noticed that Lauren was now downstairs and Linda couldn't get down there, and Lauren wasn't allowed to come up to visit.
So she couldn't even see her now.
Yes. Linda observed that Brittany treated Lauren drastically different than the other children. Brittany showed no love or affection for her, and Brittany forced Lauren to call her mommy, and that Lauren was afraid not to. Linda observed Kyle kick a door on purpose so that it smashed Lauren's fingers.
Okay, that's it right there. Really? She watched that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You're just getting me all fucking fired up right now, Tanya.
I know. I'm sorry. And when Lauren complained to Brittany, Brittany said, oh, it's just an accident. But Linda said, it's not an accident because I just watched what happened. And she said to Kyle, I guess I need to spank you because everybody's mad at me. And so she swatted him on the butt and he laughed at her. And that was it. Linda noted that Lauren was constantly in trouble, that Brittany was more strict with Lauren than the other kids, and Brittany dominated Ryan, obviously.
Yeah, I caught on to that.
Before I tell you more of this horrible tale, we're going to take a break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On February 22nd, Ryan contacted Karen, the family and child therapist that they had brought Lauren to tell her that Lauren's behaviors were escalating and that Lauren had gotten a pair of scissors and threatened to harm somebody with them. Lauren was taken to a session with Karen, and Karen met with Lauren alone, and then together with Brittany and Ryan. Karen noticed that Lauren was very withdrawn, that it was difficult to have a conversation with her, that Lauren showed no emotion whatsoever, and that she was a really unhappy and miserable child. Lauren drew a picture of the blue bunny and told Karen that that's the bunny that made her do bad things. Lauren stated she slept on the floor or on a cot next to her bed because her bed was frequently dirty. Lauren also stated that Amber had forced her to take cold showers or would bend her fingers back as punishment. Karen informed Ryan and Brittany about possible follow-up care, and they didn't express any interest, so she scheduled a follow-up visit for March 1st. At the March 1st appointment, Lauren wore her coat and slept for most of the session. She had physically deteriorated from the previous week. She had dark circles under her eyes and looked pale. She looked exhausted, frail, fragile. That's how Karen described it. And looked like a child who wasn't eating or sleeping. Brittany reported that Lauren was having difficulty eating and she would sometimes vomit her food back up. Brittany told Karen that it wasn't unusual for Lauren to sleep only 2 or 3 hours a night. Karen told Brittany they might need to admit Lauren into the hospital because her health seemed to be deteriorating.
Right. Why not have her there so she can just get an IV, get monitored?
Something. But Brittany didn't ask about further treatment. The following day, Karen contacted a local pediatrician and got information regarding the process to have Lauren referred to the pediatrician and then called Brittany and explained the procedure.
I thought she was seeing Dr. Shoemaker.
I know, Dr. Shoemaker. Also, CPS contacted the police and scheduled an interview with Kaylin and Lauren for March 3rd, the following day. In response to receiving information from CPS in Tennessee that it intended to conduct an investigation into the allegations against Amber, CPS tried to call Brittany to inform her of the interview. Angela answered the phone, and they told Angela that the interview, you know, they wanted to interview Kaylin and Lauren.
Okay.
So what they're calling Brittany about is to let her know that CPS is finally taking action against the allegations against Amber in Tennessee, and they want to investigate Kaylin and Lauren about those.
To talk to them about their mom abusing them?
Yes. And they haven't been with her for over a year.
How does that make sense to them that this child is so traumatized still?
And she was fine when she was with Amber. And she's been deteriorating for a month or two now.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Between 11 and 11:30 on the same day, so I believe we're still on March 2nd, and the CPS interview is supposed to be the following day, Ryan called Brittany during his lunch break, and Brittany said that Lauren had fallen at the dentist's office and was going to have a black eye. Ryan asked who hit her, and Brittany became angry, saying, "No one hit her," and she hung up on Ryan. At about 1:30, Brittany called Ryan at work and told him they needed to take Lauren to the hospital because Lauren was holding her head and was screaming of a headache. Ryan told Brittany to come to his workplace and get him. When Brittany and Lauren arrived at his workplace, Lauren was holding her head and screaming, and Ryan went inside and called for an ambulance. Paramedics arrived and placed Lauren in the ambulance to take her to the hospital. Brittany rode in the ambulance, and Ryan drove the van to the hospital. One of the paramedics noted that Lauren appeared emaciated. It was all skin and bones. She also had a sunken-in face. Her eyes were probably, right? She probably had black circles under her eyes. And that her condition, especially based on the exposed face and extremities, was obvious. Paramedics noted that Lauren had abrasions on her left eye with some bruising on the bridge of her nose and below her left eye.
She got hit in the face. Mm-hmm. Someone punched her.
Paramedic noticed that the bruises weren't fresh, as if they had been from a fall earlier, like how she said, oh, she fell at the dentist. The paramedic asked Brittany about the bruising, and Brittany said that Lauren hits herself when she becomes angry. Brittany didn't attempt to comfort Lauren, and the paramedic noted that Brittany was a little distant and not quite as emotionally as that paramedic would have expected. At the hospital, the paramedic informed the nurse of Lauren's state and that Brittany had said the child refused to eat because he wanted to prepare the nurse for what she was about to see. As Lauren was, quote, very, very something you don't expect to see here in America as far as nourishment or physical condition or anything, end quote. I mean, the fact that you have to warn the nurse, she must have looked terrible.
Right. Just skin and bones.
Yeah, it's like a shock.
And starvation is just awful. Mm-hmm. Like, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've
ever starved.
Trust me.
But.
Trust me.
I've heard things.
Yeah.
The nurse at the hospital noted Lauren appeared awful and looked severely emaciated and pale, and she whined or cried for most of the time she was in the nurse's care. She noted she saw Lauren's ribs and small wrist, and she had never seen anything like it. She noted the bruises under her eyes. Her lower legs and arms had old bruises, that her lips were cracked, and that her hair was thin. The nurse spoke with Brittany about Lauren's condition, and Brittany stated Lauren had been treated by Dr. Shoemaker the previous week. And he was all aware of Lauren's emaciated state. At some point, Lauren had a bowel movement. Brittany found the nurse and said that Lauren needed to be cleaned up, and then she left the hospital room. The nurse found Brittany's behavior really weird because Brittany's demeanor was like she was disgusted, and she seemed to be annoyed with Lauren.
Well, she must be given some food if she's having bowel movements.
Lauren was discharged from the hospital at about...
She was discharged from the hospital?
At about 5 p.m.
What?
And Brittany and Ryan were given instructions to bring Lauren back to the hospital if she displayed certain conditions during the night.
What the fuck?
I know.
She's so emaciated that, you know,
everybody's
warning,
horrified.
And warning people at a hospital.
But they're going to release her.
Wow.
Bring her back if she has certain symptoms.
Why wouldn't you be like, listen, she obviously has a very serious medical condition. Say you're not even going down the abuse line.
Mm-hmm.
She has a serious medical condition. We're going to have to... Keep her here. Give her an IV. Give her some food.
So many people failed this child. I mean, she's seen by how many people?
Oh, my God.
At about 6:35 p.m., so about an hour and a half after she's discharged, Brittany returned CPS's call and said Lauren had fallen earlier that day at the dentist, had hit her head on the concrete, that she had been taken to the hospital, and the hospital released her. Brittany also stated as long as everything was okay, the children would be able to have that scheduled interview the next day. After leaving the hospital, Ryan took Brittany and Lauren back to their home, and he went off to school. About 2 hours later, when Ryan was in computer lab, Brittany contacted him by Facebook and said that Lauren wasn't doing any better and she was suffering a mental breakdown. That's how she described it.
And this fucker, he knows that his daughter's being abused because he asked who hit her.
Right.
So then he goes back to the school. Mm-hmm. Got to go to his class.
Got to go to class. I know. So pissed.
Get me all fired up, Tanya. I see you're getting worked up. I can barely sit here right now.
Ryan went home and left a voicemail for Karen, the therapist. He called several mental hospitals trying to get Lauren to get an evaluation, and he got an appointment with a psychiatric hospital.
How does he not have a sense of urgency with this?
I know. Ryan drove to the psychiatric hospital with Brittany and Lauren, which took 2 hours. At that hospital, Ryan and Brittany were given directions to a children's hospital because Lauren's condition looked medical instead of mental. So Ryan drove to Children's Hospital, which took about 45 minutes. So I've been in the car like hours and hours.
You have so many trained professionals seeing this girl.
I know. I'm so pissed.
Like, they're not even just dumbass friends and family seeing this girl. No. You have trained professionals seeing her.
Trained professionals. When Lauren got to the emergency room at the Children's Hospital, it was about 12:55 a.m. on March 3rd. They diagnosed her as malnourished, emaciated, dehydrated, and extremely lethargic. She weighed 28 pounds. The weight for her age was very low. Her bones, ribs, and clavicle were pressing against her skin. Her cheekbones were very prominent, which is not typical for a child of 5. And Lauren had little fat under her skin. When she cried, she didn't have any tears. Her mucous membranes in her mouth were dry, and the capillary refills on the tip of her tongue were delayed, all indicating that she was dehydrated.
How many hours is this from her release from the other hospital? A day?
8 hours.
8 hours?
Yes. 8 hours. Lauren had multiple bruises on her face and extremities and a laceration on her thigh. I'm not sure how that happened. Doctors determined Lauren's sodium level was at an extremely high level. The emergency room physician gave Lauren a clinical diagnosis of failure to thrive and, quote, severe dehydration in hypernatremia, which is high sodium, and altered mental status, end quote, which was deduced from Lauren's score of 9 of 15 using the Glasgow Coma Scale, which is used to monitor a child's neurological status, which is verbal and motor responses, and responses to painful stimuli. One of Lauren's treating physicians at the pediatric intensive care unit noticed that Lauren was extremely ill, underweight, and almost skin and bones. Her blood pressure was very low, and she was seizing. Lauren was unresponsive, had to be put on a ventilator, and had bruises covering her body, which were at various stages of healing.
So she's just crashing at the hospital.
Yes. One of the doctors there spoke with Ryan and Brittany to figure out what had happened. During their conversation, the doctor asked for the name of Lauren's primary care physician, and they're like, oh,
Dr. Shoemaker. I know it. Dr. Shoemaker.
Yes, you do. She knew Dr. Shoemaker, this doctor, and she said, well, I'm going to call him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Upon hearing that, Ryan and Brittany's demeanor completely changed and said, well, actually, Dr. Shoemaker hadn't seen Lauren. And that's when the doctor realized that something was horribly, horribly wrong and that Lauren's state of malnutrition wasn't recent, but an ongoing issue. Neither Dr. Shoemaker nor anyone in his physician network had ever seen Lauren, and no appointment had ever been made, ever. Lauren was unable to breathe effectively on her own due to the seizing, which was reoccurrent and dangerous. The doctor reviewed the results of testing done on Lauren and realized that she had to have had a high sodium intake, like it wasn't just something natural. The doctor believed that salt was being given to her and that it was causing the issues. So she was probably fed salt, and she was.
Spoiler alert.
Although certain medications can cause high sodium, none of them were present in Lauren. So the doctor consulted with various colleagues and attempted to determine why she had high sodium.
Because bitch Brittany gave it to her, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to have to call her bitch Brittany from now on.
Bitch Brittany. They finally all decided, after this doctor consulted with her colleagues, that she had to have been eating salt. So the doctor goes to Ryan and Brittany and specifically asked if Lauren had any access to salt and whether they had seen her eat salt. They're like, no, there's only one salt shaker in the house, and that was kept up in a cabinet above the microwave, so there's no way Lauren could have reached it. The doctor noted that as a 5-year-old child, the seizing was very shocking, and it was because of her malnutrition, and that once Lauren's body was stressed enough, it just couldn't handle it anymore. Another doctor noted that based on her condition, Lauren must have had inadequate calorie intake for a period of months. relative of Ryan called Amber to tell her that Lauren had been admitted to this children's hospital. And Amber drove to Indiana with her husband and mother. When she saw Lauren, she noticed that Lauren's body had no meat on her bones. Her cheeks were sunk and her hair was chopped off.
She had to have been just shocked.
Her hands were swollen. You could see the outline of her bones.
Her hair was chopped off?
Yeah. I don't know who did that.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Brittany bitch.
Brittany and Ryan were not in the room when Amber arrived, and Amber stayed in the room until Lauren died.
No, I knew you were getting there. God damn it. I'm so, so sad.
I'm so angry and sad, and this poor child suffered.
That's so heartbreaking. So innocent.
I know. And why?
No reason. Yeah, no reason.
Not that anybody deserves it, but for absolutely no reason. Finally, three of Lauren's treating doctors now had concern, extremely high concern, that she was abused. It was obvious to the doctor that was treating her that Lauren's symptoms and condition required immediate attention and that her caregivers obviously ignored it.
Was her mom there for her final moments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amber was with her when she died. Brittany was not.
That part makes me feel a little better.
A little better.
I mean, none of it makes me feel good, but I'm just saying, finally, at least her mom was there. I always feel better when my mom's there.
I know. This poor baby. At about 8:45 on March 3rd, I'm not sure what time Lauren passed away, but Brittany called CPS and said that after they got home from the hospital that previous evening, Lauren had begun to exhibit odd behaviors, and they had contacted Karen, the therapist, and they were referred to a psychiatric hospital and later Children's Hospital. Lauren died the following day on March 4th. She was non-responsive. She developed multi-organ failure and was likely brain dead when she passed. A pastor at the hospital noted that after Brittany and Ryan left Lauren's room, after she had been taken off the ventilator and went downstairs to the hospital, Brittany and her family's demeanor was kind of like a sense of relief. Like, oh, Lauren's gone. A nurse observed that as Brittany and her family were exiting an elevator on the first floor, they were laughing, talking, interacting, which was quite different than they acted on the second floor less than 3 minutes earlier, and that Brittany was laughing and acting happy. A few days later, Ryan overheard Brittany state to Robert that, quote, they don't have nothing. They can't prove anything, end quote. A subsequent search of Brittany's residence uncovered two partially filled 26-ounce containers of salt, one full container of salt, and a large glass with holes poked in the top lid that contained salt. So it wasn't just one shaker. Following an autopsy, the coroner found the manner of Lauren's death to be undetermined. The coroner further found the cause of Lauren's death to be complications of high sodium and non-organic failure to thrive or malnourishment.
What about the injury to the head?
I don't know if that was just a story to explain why she was in pain. I don't know. That's a good question. State of Indiana charged Brittany with neglect of a dependent resulting in death, which was a Class A felony. After her trial, the jury found her guilty of neglect of a dependent resulting in death.
And this is more than neglect.
I know.
This,
it's murder.
It's murder.
It's slow murder.
Exactly. Just because it didn't happen, you know, one day.
No.
Doesn't mean this wasn't her intentions.
Oh, absolutely. The court sentenced her to 50 years in prison.
What about Ryan?
Ryan was sentenced to 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to neglect and agreeing to testify against Brittany. He divorced her at some point. He said to the court, quote, I guess I am just a worthless father, like they said.
Yeah, absolutely you are, you little fucker.
But I did try to protect her and help her, but I didn't do enough, end quote. Yeah, like what?
You tried, really?
Really, you tried? By asking Brittany what the hell? He said he failed to protect Lauren from his wife and in-laws because he was physically intimidated by them. The judge was pissed when issuing Ryan's sentence. And basically said he had a depraved indifference to what was happening to his child.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Angela, Brittany's mom, was sentenced to 30 years in prison.
Whoa, she got more than Ryan.
Yeah. And Robert, Angela's husband, pleaded guilty to neglect resulting in death and was sentenced to 40 years in prison.
Wow.
And even though Angela didn't, I don't think Angela participated in the abuse. There was nothing that I read that she did, but she did urge Brittany to take Lauren because they needed the money. She was in on it.
And she lived in the house, right?
Yeah, she lived in the house.
Well, she could have stopped it. She's guilty as fuck.
Mm-hmm. So all of these lovely people, are incarcerated in Indiana. And
what about Kaylin?
Kaylin, I believe, went back to Amber. I don't know what happened to
Kyle.
I don't know what happened to Kyle or Heather, but I imagine they are with some family, I would think. Like I said, their names weren't in the court record, and in the articles I read, they weren't ever mentioned, like, by name. So I'm not sure exactly what happened to them.
What was the deal with the Blue Bunnies?
I don't know.
When she was seeing.
Right?
Was they she were making her do bad things.
Do you think she was hallucinating?
I have no idea.
I know.
It's the first I've heard the story.
I don't know. I would love to know.
And the Barbie doll.
Barbie doll is fucking disturbing.
I feel like there was more that happened to that little girl than we know.
I feel like, though, Brittany made up stuff to make it sound like Lauren was mentally ill or something like that to kind of explain why this stuff was happening to her.
Maybe she was coached to say the Blue Bunnies.
Maybe. That's possible.
I mean, I have literally no idea. I just heard this story today.
But I know, like, how she made up the anorexia and she made up some of the other things. So I think she tried to make it sound like so that the focus wouldn't be on, like, physical abuse, that it was more on she's got mental problems and that's why she's not eating and she's withdrawn. And
I think it's rather interesting that Brittany took her to so many doctors and therapists, because usually you're abusing a child, that those are the last people you want to take a kid to see.
That's a good point.
Especially a therapist.
Oh, I know. Right. I would be afraid.
That she's going to spill the beans. Abusing
a child. Yeah, exactly. I'd be afraid she was going to tell. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, that has totally ruined my day. My heart just, like I said already, it's just crushed right now.
I know.
So fucking sad, dude. So fucking sad. And
this poor child. I can only imagine, too, her siblings witnessing some of this.
Of course.
Well, thank you, Talia, for listening and enduring that. And thank you guys for sticking around if you're still here.
Yeah, thank you. We got to do some shout outs.
Oh my God, it's been so long since we've done shout outs.
It's been almost a month.
It's been almost a month.
I'm so sorry, guys. We're not the most organized podcast out there.
Despite what you might think.
Right.
We are giving shout outs to all of our new Patreon members and Apple subscribers who've contacted us, in case anyone is wondering what these shout outs are about.
Yeah, these are our paid Apple channel subscribers.
Yes. So we're going to give shout outs to Allison, Shelley, Angela U, Mary S, Melissa V, Megan M, Kenzie, D.Y. Scott, Maria A, Tanya C.
Not you though, right? You're not subscribing to us, are you?
No.
You get it for free.
I do get it for free. Or it might be Tania C. I was once corrected by a woman who spelled her name T-A-N-I-A that it was not Tanya, it was Tania.
See, you shouldn't always assume.
I'm putting it out there. Danielle R., Caitlin P., Ginger N., Amber, Pencil Junkie.
Pencil Junkie.
I love that. Kristen M., Regina H., Christy F., Christy S., Teacup.
Teacup? That's sweet.
It's cute. Mary B., Jenny R., Rhonda F., JoJo S., Shakayla A., Candace B., KD, Kathy M., Elizabeth L.
Wait, to be clear, that's K.
K, K-A-Y.
D.
D. Kathy M., Elizabeth L., Lustron.
Lustron.
I don't know. Barb S., Carrie W., Belinda T., Brandy S., Kira L., Jocelyn D., Jessica R., Cara Fifth, Terrence, Catherine M., Christy S., Daniela O., Carly C., Marie, Susan M.
Not to be confused with Cardi B.
No. you're right, it rhymes. Carly C. Carly C. and Cardi B. Susan M., Patty P., Gabriel L., Tamara, Eyes of an Aquarian.
Okay.
Sanji, who I believe is an Apple subscriber. And the other Apple subscribers we have are Jessica P., Alana, and Damon.
Wow. That is a whole fucking group of fucking amazing.
We love you guys.
Oh my God. I gotta give it up.
Yes. Yes. Snaps. Yes. Yes.
Snaps.
So thank you all so very much for subscribing to our Apple channel and or our Patreon.
And I hope you enjoy all of those episodes that are only exclusive to you amazing people. Ad free.
Early releases.
We got a lot of shit.
We go check live it out on Facebook.
Check out our Instagram too. Yeah. And our Facebook. It is at Hardcore True Crime. Hardcore True Crime.
Check out our website, crimesandconsequences.com. We have merch on our website.
Lots of it. We got lots of, we got so much good shit on that website.
Yeah, check it out, man.
Just go check some stuff out. And then check us out next week, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Same time, same place.
Until our next episode.
Don't kill each other.
Bye.
Bye.